All right, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on the top of Ted Vavam and Aleph. The Mishnah begins, Arini Nazir, Ila Kishayeli Ben, V'Nazir Me'ayom. So you have an example of where he takes a Nizirut, when I have a child, and then on top of that, he has a Nizirut of 100 days. So it's similar, but different than the Mishnah that we had before, in that here you have a Nizirut Miruba, you have a much longer Nizirut associated with the one with his child. As opposed to the previous Mishnah where it says, I'll be a Nazir when I have a child, and I am a Nazir, that I am a Nazir limits it to 30 days. Because of that, the din will be different here than it is by the other case. The question obviously is, well, depending on how you learned before, will also influence how you learn over here. So interestingly, the Mifaresh over here explains that Nolad lo ben ad shivim, if he has a child before 70 days have elapsed of the 100-day Nizirut, lo hifsid klum, then he loses nothing. Which means, according to the Mifaresh, he takes a break from his Nizirut, emoned shel bno, he takes care of the Nizirut of his son, umigaleach, and then he does a full giluach on his son's Nizirut of 30 days, and then he is choser lashlim et ameach shelo, he goes back to finish up his 100, and then he has a giluach on his own 100, which has been split up between at least 70 on that side, 30 on the other side. It could be more. It could be 60 and 40. But the number on the back end is 30 or greater. In that case, he has sufficient time for the hair to grow back and to do a giluach on his own nizirut. Right? He brings two korbanot. One korban when he finishes his son's Nizirut, and then another korban when he finishes his own Nizirut. On the other hand, la'achar shivim, if it's after 70, soter shivim, then it undermines it, she'ein tiklachat pachot mishloshim yom. Because there's no such thing as a tiklachat less than 30 days, and therefore, according to the Mifaresh, you have a case where you've already gotten past 70 days, 71, 72, 73 days of your Nizirut, then you have your son's Nizirut, which will interrupt. We'll see in a second an explanation for that. Your son's Nizirut will interrupt. Then you keep your son's Nizirut. You do a Tiglachat, and you finish up that Nizirut with the Korbanot. Now you have less than 30 days of your 100-day Nizirut left. What the Mishnah says, and the Mifaresh is taking it literally, is Soter Shivim. It undermines the whole 70 or anything that happened beforehand, and you basically start from scratch, and you start the whole 100 again. Because you don't have sufficient time left in the 100 to get to a tiglachat, therefore you restart the entire 100. Now the Mifaresh himself asks about this versus the previous Mishnah where we had two Nidre Niziriot and we didn't have such a case, because there, what the Mifaresh explained was that they become a single entity. They become one unit, and therefore you only do one tiglachat and one set of korbanot on both Niziriot. And he says, what's the difference? He says, "V'hani milei b'nizirut miruba, aval b'nizirut mu'etet, eino suter klal." When you have a small nizirut, then it doesn't undermine it. "K'tadan le'al meniach et shalo, u'meno et shal b'no, v'achar kach mashlim et shalo." And then he goes back to his, "V'eino suter," and doesn't undermine anything. But time am I? What's the reason, the difference between them? "K'demran, she'en tiglachat b'entayim, u'kechada nizirut arikahu." It becomes like one long 60-day neder nizirut. Now, he doesn't explain the logic behind this, but he's giving us the din and explains why the Mishnayot are different. The Mishnah before was a case with 30 days and 30 days. So by definition, if you get interrupted in the middle of your nizirut, you're not going to have 30 days afterwards. It's just impossible for you to have 30 days afterwards. The only way you'll have a case where there are 30 days is if it happens on the same day. The first day you start your nizirut, you have the child that day. But otherwise, there's going to be no chance of you having 30 days afterwards, and therefore they are joined together, they're fused, the two Niziriot, and you count 60 days, again, assigning, you could have 10 days before, then 30 days for the child, and then 20 days afterwards, but you only bring one Korban on the whole thing, only do one Tiglachat on the whole thing. And therefore, there's no interruptions, there's no restarting, because it's just one long 60-day Nizirot. Again, they're nafkaminot, as we saw yesterday, but when the Tumah falls out, and whether how it affects that Nizirot. Over here, since the Nizirut is a Nizirut Murubah, which is that it's 100 days, there we try to figure out if there's a sufficient time afterwards for you to do a tiglachat, because you are going to do a tiglachat after your son. So since you're going to do a tiglachat after your son, you have to sufficient time afterwards to have your own tiglachat. If you don't have sufficient time, undermines the nizirut. So that's the question. The Mefarish never gives you the logic. He tells you that it is different. He doesn't explain you the difference. It's likely that the difference is what the person has in mind when they take the nether nizirut. Person takes the 30-day nizirut. Over there, he's aware of the fact that his nizirut could be interrupted by the son. And in knowing that, he basically, in taking his nether nizirut, says, I'm taking basically one big nizirut. And as long as my son's nizirut is subsumed within the other nizirut, then it's one big nizirut. Over here, where he's taking a much longer nizirut, in all likelihood, he believes, or he's thinking, that even if my son's nizirut interrupts, I still have time in the back end to finish it. And when he doesn't have time in the back end, that's not what his intent was, or that wasn't what he had in mind, and therefore he's got to start again. So you have to say that's something to do with the mindset of the individual when they're starting nizirut, based on what they say, what they had in mind. The Balei HaTosafot bring a different view of the Mishnah here. It's also brought by the Rosh. It's actually not here. It's back on Yud Gimel Amud Bet. They actually have it together with the previous Mishnah, and their explanations of this Mishnah are found back there on Yud Gimel Amud Bet. The Balei HaTosafot suggest over here, and so does the Rosh. The Balei HaTosafot, the Rosh, both suggest back on Yud Gimel Amud Bet that the case here is a case of whether you can double count. Can you count both your nizirut and your son's nizirut simultaneously? Now, their differentiation of the case here versus the case back in the previous Mishnah is, in the previous Mishnah, it's going to be impossible for you to double count, because there's no way that you could subsume your son's nizirut entirely within your nizirut. Because as soon as you start your nizirut, you're already into your nizirut, and then your son's nizirut will extend beyond your nizirut. So in that case, there's no question about double counting the nizirut or using one day for both nizirut. Except, with the exception of the case where the child is born on the first day of nizirut. The child is born on the first day of nizirut, the Balei HaTosafot, the Rosh say, the same din will apply as what they're suggesting in this Mishnah. And that is, what they suggest happens here is you start your 100-day count for your nizirut, you interrupt in the middle to count the 30 days for your son, but while you count those 30 days for your son, you are still counting your days towards your 100-day nizirut. So that means if there's sufficient time left in your nizirut that your son's nizirut will be subsumed in the nizirut, then that works. So you take a nether for the 100, you start the 100. As long as you have not crossed over the 70 threshold, then when you count your son's nizirut, that's included in your 100, and you count. You'll basically only have a nizirut of 100 days. Within that nizirut of the 100 days, you're actually completing both nidrei nizirut, because they both count towards the nizirut, and therefore you only have a total of 100 days of nizirut here, part of which will be a double count. I mean, we'll count both towards your 100 days, as well as to the 30 days of your son's nizirut. Because the other Mishnah does not have enough room in it to run the nizirut concurrently. Conceptually, the Balei HaTosafot and the Rosh ask you a question. How is this different than the Mishnah than we saw before? Because in this case, because he takes a nizirut merubah versus the case over there when he takes a nizirut mu'etet, over there the likelihood that this nizirut of his son will be subsumed in his nizirut is almost nil. Very unlikely. The only way it happens, again, is if he's born on the first day of his nizirut. Therefore, he must have had in mind to separate or segregate the two nizirut. And that's why when his son is born in the middle, you do a count, but it doesn't work for both of nizirut. It's independent, and you'll have to do a total of 60 days. Over here, when he takes nizirut merubah, there is a high likelihood that his son's nizirut could be subsumed within his nizirut. And therefore, when he takes the netted nizirut, what he really had in mind was to get to 100 days, because he assumes that his son's 30 days will be subsumed in there. And because of that, we run them concurrently as opposed to the previous Mishnah. So both Tosafot and the Rosh say it has to do with your mindset, the time that you take the netter nizirut, and the amount of flexibility that you have with the longer nizirut. Because you have more flexibility there to say that the sons will be subsumed, it's as if, the way that they phrase it, it's as if he basically changed his mind and said, you know what, I just want to get 100 in here, and my sons will be included. Versus the case where it's short, where he can't be thinking that he must be thinking two If there's not sufficient, right, so if there's not sufficient time in the back end to subsume the Nizirut of the sun there, then it's not going to run concurrently because it's going to go past the 100 days. In that case, you cannot run them concurrently and say they count for both his Nizirut and his son's Nizirut. So what you will do is you will interrupt the Nizirut, count the 30 days for your son, and then return to your Neder Nizirut. Now, in returning to your Neder Nizirut here, you don't have 30 days left. And therefore, both the Balei Tosfot and the Rosh say that you wait until the end of both Nizirut. You do a Tiglachat, and then you bring your Korbanot. Be subject to the same machloket that we saw before in the other Mishnah, whether you bring two sets of Korbanot or one set of Korbanot, when you do the single Tiglachat at the end of both of them. The problem with that Shita is, so the problem with our Mishnah is that it says Soter Shivim, which according to the Balei Tosafot and the Rosh, there is no Soter Shivim, because everything stays in place. It just, you can't run them simultaneously. So what's the answer is that their Girsa in the Mishnah was Soter. They did not have the word Shivim in the Mishnah. Their Girsa, they both noted, is, Lo Yifsid Klum Lachar Shivim, Soter, Shein Tiglachat Pachod Mishloshim Yom. Since there's 30 days left here, that's not sufficient to run your son's Nizirut. Therefore, you have to run it independently. And then, you continue your Nizirut after. So what the Stira is not that you undermine any of the Nizirut. You don't lose anything here. You could have gotten away with 100. Instead, now you have to do 130. It freezes it, it stops it, and you continue afterwards, which just means you do 130 instead of 100. One Tiglachat on both of them.
At the end of every.
Right. But it's not counted towards your son because you're counting him independently. You hear you'll do 130 days instead of 100 days. Had it been that the son's was completely subsumed inside of your Nizirut, you would have done a total of 100 days.
So you have 30, the 30 after the 100 is the one for your son?
Not after, in the middle. You'll stop in the middle, do 30, and then finish your reserve.
Does it really make a difference which days or which days?
Yes, that's because of yesterday's Gemara. It'll make a difference because of when you become Tamei or something, what you're Soter. Right, so it will make a difference. The Machlokodot we saw yesterday will matter depending what you're counting. But the big difference is that if you have enough sufficient time left, more than 30 days, you're only counting 100 days in the Zirut, and you're done. Total 100 days. In this case, you'll interrupt to do the 30 for your son. Continues afterwards, you'll do a total of 130 days according to the Balei Tosafot. There is a third Shita, which is somewhat a play on the Shita of the Balei Tosafot and the Rosh, which is the Rambam in the Perush Mishnayot. The Rambam in the Perush Mishnayot explains similarly to the Balei Tosafot, but then he says, if there is insufficient time left, less than 30 days, then what you do is you interrupt, do your son's Nizirut, and do a Tiglachat for your son's Nizirut. So you do a Tiglachat for your son's Nizirut, and then you bring Korbanot. Then you restart your 100-day Nizirut, but you don't have enough time left now, because you need minimum of 30 days. So what the Rambam says you do is, you have to wait a minimum of 30 days. So now, if you had less than 30 days left, then you are Soter that excess amount from the first count. So if you had gotten up to 80 days in your count, then got interrupted by the birth of the son, you now have 30 days to do your son, do a Tiglachat Korbanot, then you have 20 days left of the previous Nizirut. But that's not sufficient to get you to 30 days. You do 20 days plus 10. So you were Soter, in that case, 10 days, because you have to make up the 10 days. So the way that the Rambam terms it is their Girsa is not Soter Shivim, but rather Soter ad Shivim. It is Soter up till 70 days, which is the maximum amount that you're going to have to do after the fact. Basically, it takes you back to 70. It'll Soter all the days in excess of 70, it is Soter. So the maximum that you will lose is the total of your Me'ah minus the 70, right? The most you could lose is 29 days in that sense. But he has it basically almost a combination of the two Shitot, which is he's saying like the Balei Tosafot. If in that case it happens, you have to stop your Nizirut, put in the 30 for your son. But he says like the Mefereish that you do a Tiglachat then. But unlike the Mefereish who says you lose everything beforehand when you have less than 30 left, all the Rambam says is you just got to make up the 30 afterwards. So the maximum amount that you're going to have to do on the back end is 30 days to get you to a Tiglachat. And the maximum that will be Soter of your Nizirut was if you got up to 99 days. And then you got the child, and then you interrupted the 30 days, you're going to lose those last 29 days, and you have to make them up in the back end. That's what means Soter ad Shivim. Is it Soter back to 70 days so that the maximum amount that will count from beforehand is 70 days. Anything in excess of that will be undermined. So those are the different shitot that we have over here. As far as the language is concerned, this Mishnah does not give an alternate in the order of the stipulation of what he said. Here it gives you an example that Nazir Sheh Ben, and then Nazir Mei Ayom. That's all. It doesn't give you the reverse example. Therefore, there are Rishonim that believe that it does not matter which way that you take the Neder Nizirut. In either case, because it's the Nizirut Merubah, it works over here. On the other hand, Tosafot back on Yud Gimel Amud Bet brings between Rabbeinu Tam Peresh, the Dafka Reini Nazir Kshili Ben, the Nazir Kuf Yom. It's definitely in this order, and this order matters. Right, Amrinan lo yifsid kol mishum demiyad shenoladu ben tzrich lahafsik niziruto limnot nizirut bino. The reason being that because when you take your son's neder nizirut first, the one that's triggered by your son, that is what allows you to interrupt your nizirut, because that's the one that comes first. So as soon as it happens, it's got to take effect. And since your nizirut is in the way, therefore, you now, according to the Balei Tosfot, the Rosh over there, join them together and run them simultaneously. But if the Neder Nizirut is taken in reverse, where you say 100 first, and then Neder Kshieli Ben, the son's Nizirut has no right to interrupt the Nizirut of 100. And you have to complete the Nizirut of 100, and then only then will the Nizirut of the Ben take effect, and therefore, none of these dinim apply. Because you're going to finish the 100, and then take the Nizirut for your son, similar to the previous Mishnah, where you take in the other order. You finish your 100, and then you deal with your child for the 30 days. Finish 100, Teglachat, Korbanot, 30 days, and then Teglachat and Korbanot. I mean, that will always be the case, similar to the first case in the previous Mishnah. So Rabbeinu Tam says that that's why this Mishnah only brought this one case, because it's relying on what we said in the previous Mishnah, that the order matters, and if you reverse the order, it would be problematic. But many Rishonim say that this part of the Mishnah does not indicate that, and because you took a Nizirut Merubah, it would be irrespective of how you worded it. In this case, because of the way you worded it, and you gave yourself enough room to fit your son's Nizirut into the 100 days, then it would work no matter which way you took the Neder Nizirut. So now here it gets a little complicated. Amar Rav, Yom Shivim, Ole, Lekan, Ulekan. 70th day counts in both directions. What Rav is suggesting over here is that it's really only on day 71 that you start running into a problem, rather than day 70, because on day 70, the baby's born in the middle of day 70. So what in essence we are saying now is that day 70 counts both for his Nizirut that he's found in right now, as well as the first day of his son's Nizirut, and that makes a difference now, because that means that even at 70, you will still have sufficient time then to finish up your son's 30 days before the completion of your 100-day Nizirut, because, in essence, the 70th day is now being double counted. So here you have, according to the Mifaresh, the way the Mifaresh explained it, remember, he says that whatever days that you did before, you get interrupted by the son's Nizirut, you do it to Glachat, and then you finish off in the back end your Nizirut. How many days do you need to finish off in the back end of Nizirut? So according to this, you only need 29 days in the back end, because you finished 71, now you had 30 days of your son, and now you go back to do the 29 of yours in the back end. Now it's interesting only because the Mifaresh requires you to do a second Tiglachat, and so I'm not sure why the 29 days would benefit you, because in the end you'll still need 30 days for Tiglachat. He never explains that part of his Shita. Because according to the Balei HaTosafot and the Rosh, where if you have sufficient time left that the entirety of your son's Nizirut is subsumed in your Nizirut, this basically buys you an extra day. It says that instead of day 69 being the last day where this could happen, and then day 70 is a crossover, here day 71 will be that day. Because on day 70, you still have time left, because now you counted on day 70, you are 70, and there's 30 days left for the child. Day 71, again, you've now counted 71, but it's also the first day for the child's Nizirut. And therefore, in this case, what will end up happening? Gam ting kevan de yom ayin ola gam le nizirut bno chashuv kishnei yamim le inyan nizirutot. It counts as 2 days. Therefore, b'ayinu taima Mishum dimidoraita mutar le galeach v'yom kuf. Truthfully, mina Torah, you're allowed to take a haircut on the 100th day. Midrabanan, this is Tosafot Shitatam, that before, when we had the machloka between Rav Matna and Bar Podo, about whether Nizirut is 30 days and you shave on the 31st day, or whether Nizirut is 29 days and you shave on the 30th day, there the Balei Tosafot believed that even according to one who says you don't shave till the 31st day or we wait the extra day, that's a din derabonon, that we may want you to wait because of the case where you say shlemim, where you say full days. So what happens here is, what the Rosh suggests happened here over here, is that when it happens on the 70th day that the child is born, so then you count 30 days from that day, and then on the 100th day, that is actually the 31st day of the child's Nizirut. Because if you count day 70, and then you get to day 100, 30 days have elapsed by the time you get to 99. Because you're counting day 70 as day 1. It's not 100 minus 70, it's really 100 minus 69, because day 70 counts as your first day. Therefore, you will reach day 31 for your son's Nizirut on day 100. Now, what you can do, according to the Balei Tosafot and the Roshes, take a haircut and bring your korbanot on day 100. That's because it's the 31st day of your son's Nizirut. But wait a minute! It's the 100th day of your Nizirut. You need to wait to day 101. What they say over here is, that's only a din derabanan to wait to day 101. And therefore over here, we'll allow you the dispensation to do the tiglachat for your son on day 31, and the tiglachat for the 100 days on day 100. According to one opinion, it's mixed yom kakulo, you're done anyway. According to Rav Matna, who says that mixed the yom kakulo, it's already, you're into the 100th day, and you can do it. According to Bar Padua, the postponement to the next day is only a din derabanan. So the Rabbanon waived their takana and allow you to save. So basically what Rav is saying is you save a day. If he's born on day 70, you save one day from the Nizirut. Had he not been born on day 70, let's say he was born on any other day, 68, then it would be subsumed and you have to do a full 100 days and you would shave on a day 101. If he's born after day 70, then you have a problem because the son's Nizirut is running over and you'd have to, then you count 130 days anyway. So the benefit of him being born on day 70, that's the only benefit, is if he's born on day 70, you get to do your tiglach on a day 100 instead of a day 101. And that's what Rav is telling us here. Ole lekan, ole kan, that's the benefit of him being born on that day. Again, according to the Mifarish, ole lekan, ole kan is how much do you have in your back end? What's the residual that you have left? Your son's Nizirut, you count a full 30 days, do a tiglachat and korbanot, and then in the back end, you have to make up whatever you didn't finish from your 100 days. Do you have, what is the back end there? It's 29 days. Again, I said before that the aura on the shita of the Mifaresh is that he requires you a tiglachat. So I don't know why 29 days helps you, unless you say like the Rosh said before, and we saw in yesterday's Gemara, that the 29 days are considered to be full-fledged Nizirut, and that 30th day is just called Gidul Se'ar, where if you became Tamei on that day, it would not be okay the whole Nizirut. There, it's b'diavad that he does it on day 100. Over here, the chatchila, he can do it on day 100. Because his son's one is expiring there. That's the chap. That since his son's day 31 is on that day, we're going to let him do both of them on the day 100, and we're not going to hold up the chachamim, we're going to say mix it to the yom kula, whichever way you want to apply it, and say that he can do both on the 100. Right, so now Gemara says, brings our Mishnah. It's not. No, 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 ad shivim, lo yifsid klum. It says, if you're born until 70, you didn't lose anything. Well, that means that if you're born on 70, you do lose something. It's gurei mitkar. If you say here that it's ole lekan lukan, you actually benefit if he's born on day 70. The question of the Gemara can be one of two ways. One possibility is that, why are we saying over here that only until day 70? It seems that even day 70 itself, it should be until day 71. That's one way to phrase the question. Or the question is about lo hifsid klum. He didn't lose anything. What do you mean he didn't lose anything? It's not that you didn't lose, you actually benefited. If he's born until that point, Ole Lekan Lukan gives you an extra day. Say an extra day, that means the Lo Yifsid Klum, it's not the right language that you should be using. You should be using a language that says, he's born in that period of time, he benefits from this, Ole Lekan Lukan. So according to the Mifaresh, where it saves you a day in the back end, then Ole Lekan, that's probably the more likely the question is, why is it saying Lo Yifsid Klum? It should say that you're benefiting. According to the Balei Tosafot, the real question is, why is it cutting it off at day 70? It should be cutting off at day 71. Because day 70 would still keep you within the ability to count the two Nizirot together. Ella. Now the word Ella over here is difficult because generally when the Gemara uses the word Ella, it means it's changing its version. It's coming to a new answer totally. And therefore the Mifaresh over here says that the Ella here is different than any Ella in Shas. Because every LL and Shas changes the topic, and over here, it's just telling you how to explain the Mishnah, not changing the way that we are thinking. Or, he says, and he brings another girsa that eliminated the word Ella. The word Ella was not there, and therefore it would make more sense, which is, the Gemara is just saying, Bedinu delo litnei ad shivim. Truth is, he shouldn't have written until shivim, or lo hifsid klum, whichever way you want to write it. Umishom diktane seifa achar shivim soter shivim. Because after shivim, it says it's soter. The seifa of the Mishnah, that after 70, you lose the 70, or according to the Baal Yatosfo and the Rosh, achar shivim soter, without the word shivim. Tani reisha shivim. It used 70 in the reisha. Gemara says, okay, that's a nice explanation, but then tashma mi seifa. What are you going to learn from the seifa? Nolad achar shivim soter shivim. It's born after 70, you lose 70. My achar. What does it mean, after 70? Achar, achar. It really means after, after. Aval achar mamash, my. What would it be if it was really 71? Achanami delo satar. Because if day 71 counts in both directions, then according to the Baal HaTosafot, you didn't lose anything over here. You're right, you can't shave on day 100, so you didn't benefit an extra day. But you also didn't lose anything because the 30 will end on the same day as the 100, and they'll both be required. Day 31 and day 101 will be the day for the shaving of both the Nizirut. So that means he should still be able to count 100 and not 130, because his son's Nizirut completely fits inside of his 100 days, even if it happens on day 71. And again, according to the Mifresh, over there you would save a day in the back end in terms of only the amount of days that you would need in the back end. And therefore, why does the Mishnah stop it at day 70? It should stop it at day 71. It should say after day 71. Mar says, oh, that's what it meant. Achar, achar. Means after, after. Mar says, I don't understand. If achar mamash ma'ay, achanami delo satar, that means on day 71 it wouldn't be soter. Yechachi ma'iriya. Titani nolad ad shivim, lo yifsid kum. Afilo achar shivim nami. Even after 70 is a problem. Ha'amart lo satar. You're going to tell me it's not soter. Ela shmamina achar mamash. After 70 it must be literally. V'chein matnitan the Rav. And therefore, our Mishnah is problematic for Rav. Shmamina. So now, again, this is Lashon Nizirut. V'chein matnitan the Rav. That means that the Mishnah is extremely problematic for Rav's position. Because at first we thought maybe we could wake our way around it by saying that shivim doesn't literally mean shivim because we're just doing it to mimic the seifa. But then you go look in the seifa and the seifa says achar shivim. But that doesn't work either because you need to get to day 71 in one of those two statements. And the fact that one says before 70, the other one says after 70, leaves 70 as the pivotal day when according to Rav, the pivotal day is really day 71. And therefore it's very hard to explain the Mishnah in the Shita of Rav. That's what it means. V'chein matid in the Rav is clearly problematic for Rav. Then, for Rav, keman amr l'shmaiti. If Rav doesn't agree with our Mishnah, then who is Rav's position subscribing to? Over here, David's question becomes relevant, and all the Rishonim ask the question, what do you mean? Didn't we have a shita before that said, mixet hayom kukulo? And therefore, if you had two sequential niziriot, we said that you ended your first niziriot on day 31, and you began, on that same day, you began your next Nizirut. So we saw Ole Lekan, Ve'ole Lekan. So you have two Nidre Niziriot, and therefore Mixat Hayom Kekulo. And what's the question about the source for Rav? Rav is based on those Shitot that we saw before. And why is the Gemara perplexed? So the way that the Mefaresh answers it, Dilma Matnitin Dehatam Lo Metartza K'Rav Matna Ela K'Bar Pado. Rav Matna was of the opinion before that Mixat Hayom Kekulo. Parpada disagreed and said, there's no such concept as Mixat Hayom Kekulo. Why are you allowed to start your Nizirut on day 31? Is because your Nizirut really ended on day 29. You could do your Tiglachan on day 30. And that's why your next Nizirut starts. Meaning that the Rabbanan in that case did not uphold their position because there's only really a din der Rabbanan according to Bar Pada. And when you had the two sequentially, they didn't uphold their position. But basically, there are two shitos of whether Mixat Hayom Kekulo works or not. And what the Mefaresh says is, how do you know this Mishnah is according to one who says Mixat Hayom Kekulo? Could be according to one who says that it's not Mixat Hayom Kekulo. On the other hand, the Baal HaTosafot and the Rosh give a different answer, which is, it makes a difference, the context. The context tells you how the Mixat Hayom Kekulo is going to work. In a case where, for instance, you're starting a Nizirut, and you take a Neder Nizirut in the middle of the day, It makes sense to say, Mikzat Hayom Kikulo, and you started. That first day is going to count as a full day. In a case where you have two sequential Niziriyot, over there you're ending one Nizirut, and you're beginning another Nizirut. In that case, again, it makes sense to say Mikzat Hayom Kikulo for both of them, because neither one of the Niziriyot has priority or precedence here. They're basically sharing the day. One is ending, one is beginning, and therefore it would make sense to say that that Yom can equally belong to the previous Nizirut as well as the subsequent Nizirut. On the other hand, when it comes to our case over here, the day, in all the likelihood, should belong to the previous Nizirut. Because in essence, what you're doing is interrupting a Nizirut with the Nizirut of his son. And therefore, if you already entered into Mikzat Hayom, that Mikzat Hayom should be assigned to the Nizirut that you're currently in. Because if you're coming to come here and break their Nizirut and stop the Nizirut, then that day really should belong to the 100 days or to the longer Nizirut. And the son's Nizirut should only start interrupting on the subsequent day, not on this day itself. And therefore, you would not say Mikzat Hayom Kikulo to assign the day both to the previous Nizirut and the next Nizirut, because you're in the middle of a Nizirut. It's not like you ended the previous Nizirut and you're starting a new Nizirut. You're in the middle of your 100-day Nizirut. So why would you say now that the day belongs to that and to the new Nizirut? You're still finishing up. And therefore, Tosafot says that day belongs entirely to the Nizirut that you're in the middle of. It's not that you've ended that Nizirut. So why should you count the Mikzat Hayom Kikulo and then allow the new Nizirut to start as Mikzat Hayom Kikulo? Therefore, it's not obvious that you would apply Mikzat Hayom Kikulo here in both directions in the middle of a Nizirut. And that's why he says that whatever we said before is not relevant over here. So Mar says, Ilema, that Rav says, Ka'aba Shaul, he holds like Abba Shaul by Avelut, it's not. Ha'kuveret meitol shlosha yamim kodem da regel. Person who buries a mate 3 days prior to the regel, betelo mimenu gzerat shiva. That will eliminate shiva. Because the major components of shiva are in the first 3 days. The Gemara talks about the different, or the nature of Avelut, where the first day is the most significant, then the 3 days, then the 7 days. Then we've seen structures like that also, same thing by wedding. The first day, the third day, and the seventh day, in terms of Sheva Brachot, make a difference about the status of the husband and the wife in the marriage, whether they've been previously married or not been previously married. And that also changes the duration of the Sheva Brachot, for 1 day, 3 days, 7 days. So this third day within Shiva is the end of the Bechi. That's the end of the crying period of the Shiva, the early part of the Shiva. So if you got him past that early part, and then the regel comes, it cuts off the Shiva and eliminates the remainder of the Shiva. We do not paskin that way. We paskin that if you have any Shiva prior to the regel, even an hour, even a moment, as long as the mate is buried before the regel, there is no Shiva. The regel cuts off the Shiva. Shmona Yamim, if you completed 8 days, kodem the regel, then you lose out, the tshlushim gets cut off, and then you can take a haircut before the regel because you're cutting off shloshim. So even though it's the regel that's cutting off the shloshim, and technically you are, the shloshim only terminates at the regel, nevertheless we give you a window right before the regel to cut your hair, the kavod regel. Because the whole reason the shloshim is being cut off is because of the regel. So the kavod regel, we let you kibus, which is the two things that are associated with shloshim, are kibus and tiglachat, and therefore we allow you to do both of those right before the regel in order to prepare for the regel. But that's true. If you had shmona yamim, you completed the shiva, you started the shloshim. Since you started the shloshim, now the regel will cut off the shloshim. V'mlo siper erev regel. If he did not take a haircut erev regel, asudu siper achar regel. Then we don't allow him. You did not take advantage of the dispensation to cut your hair for kavod regel. Then, after the regel, we're going to say, just keep doing your shloshim, finish up your shloshim, because you can't cut your hair during the regel, because of Chol HaMoed and the rules of regel. And therefore, now, after the regel, there's no reason to cut off the shloshim anymore. So this shita says, first of all, you have to have 8 days before to cut off shloshim. Number two, it says, if you do not take advantage of the dispensation before the regel, your shloshim will continue after the regel. On the other hand, Abba Shaul argues, and he argues on 2 points here. Shalomer, afil lo siper kodem regel, mutar de saper achar regel. Ukushem she mitzvah shlosha mivatel gzirot shiva, kach mitzvah shiva mivatel gzirat lamed. So here, Abba Shaul argues 2 points here. Number one is if you didn't take advantage of cutting your hair before the regel, you still, the shloshim is wiped out by the regel. They are, we talked about this a lot in Moed Katan, basically they are incongruous. The regel and Shloshim, the practices of Shloshim and the practices of the regel are incongruous, and therefore the regel is going to cut off the Shloshim, at least to allow you to do it before the regel. And since you had a dispensation before the regel, Shloshim is done. And therefore after regel, if you want to do it, then it's fine. And the same is true with Shiva. Again, they're incongruous, and therefore you can't have Shiva and regel existing together, and therefore the regel cuts off Shiva. So what he suggests over here is, number one, if you get the dispensation before, it's over. And therefore, after the regel, you can still cut him. If you didn't take advantage of it before the regel, you still, Shloshim is over, it's over. Number two is, he says you only need to get 7 days in before the regel. And if that's the case, the regel cuts off Shloshim. You don't need 8 days. The assumption being, my time, what is the assumption here? Mixat hayom kekulo. And that is that the seventh day of Shiva counts as the seventh day of Shiva, as well as the first day, quote unquote, of Shloshim. Now, obviously, Shloshim starts at the beginning of Shiva as well. Shloshim is not 30 days after Shiva. It runs concurrently with Shiva for the first 7 days, but it means that you've now left the world of Shiva and entered into the world of Shloshim alone for the second half of that 7 day, and therefore the regel will cut it off. That is the assumption here. What's very interesting is then, according to the Shita of Abishol, you'll never have Shloshim, because you'll always only have 29 days, because of this 7th day is now counting for 2 days of your Shloshim. Counting as the 7th and the 8th day of your Shloshim. And that means you'll never have a 30-day Shloshim, but rather a 29-day Shloshim. Some Mefarshim say, en hachanami, that Shloshim is only really 29 days. But others suggest here that this application of Abba Shaul is only relevant in this situation where the regel is going to cut it off. In Shiva, it's the 7th day, and you have mixed up the Yom Kukulo on the 7th day. That's different than, say, by Shloshim. You get to the 30th day, and you say, mix up your Yom Kukulu on the 30th day. Here, in the middle of your Shloshim, that means you'll never reach day 30 in your Shloshim. You will only reach day 29. So some Mishonim say that that's right, in Ochanami. Other Mishonim say that the Shiva and Shloshim counts are independent. They start independently, and they are not overlapped. That means that just because Shiva ended doesn't mean that Shloshim now got 7 days, and now it's the 8th day for Shiva. The Mitzvah Yom Kukulu, again, will help you in this instance for the regel, that you're now only in Shloshim and not in Shiva. But not to say that you count it as 2 days of your Shloshim. It helps you for Shiva, but the Shloshim count is completely independent of the Shiva count, and therefore you'll finish your 30 days, even though you have this Mitzvah Yom Kukulu in the middle of your Shloshim. That won't affect the count of Shloshim, just affects what your Minhagim are on that day. Are you keeping Shiva on that day, or are you keeping Shloshim on that day? What Minhagim are you bound by? And that's the question of the Mixat Yom Kukulo, but it doesn't change the count of Shloshim Yom, which will always be a 30-day count. Again, then you have to ask the question whether Mixat Yom Kukulo counts at the end for Shloshim or not. What's the reason behind Abishol's position? Shvi counts for both days. It counts both as the end of Shiva and as well as the beginning of Shloshim. So therefore, you would at this point say that we have someone who has an opinion like this, that one day we counted in both directions. So wait a minute. Maybe the reason, or the reason that we say this by Avelut, is because we have a psak by Shmuel who says that by Avelut, the halacha is always kedivrei Mekil. It's always like the one who is Mekil, or anything in the world of Avelut, we're always Mekil. And therefore we have a chance to invoke Mitzvah Yom Kukulo in both directions. We will do it because we're dealing with Avelut. Now, is Avelut a Rabbanan or not? That is a machloket that we saw in the Gemara in Moed Katan, throughout other places, whether Avelut is the Rabbanan or the Oraita. But everybody agrees, almost everybody agrees, that the Avelut Shiva is not the Oraita. The only machloket is whether the first day is the Oraita or not. And you see that here in the Mifereish. The Mifereish is following that sheet of the Gomim, that Avelut Yom Rishon is the Oraita. So therefore, Avelut Yom Rishon is the Oraita because Achritaki Yomar. But then the 7 days is a Dinder Abonon of Avelut. And he says here, interesting enough, that it was Nismach. It relies on the Pasuk by Yaakov Avinu, which they says over there that they kept Evel Shivat Yamim. They kept the 7 day Avelut for Yaakov Avinu. Based on that, the Chachamim established Shiva. There is a Shita that we saw when we learned in Moed Katan that uses that as a source for the fact that 7 days are Doraita. It's an unusual Shita. Almost nobody subscribes to that. On the other hand, for the Balei HaTosafot and others who believe that the first day is not Doraita, then all of Shiva is the Rabbanan. So therefore, now you're talking about a din derabanan versus a din d'oraita. And it's not so simple that the din of Nizirut is d'oraita. Because the last day of Nizirut, remember, depending on whose opinion you hold like, is most likely only a din derabanan. The last day of Nizirut is either because of Ramat Namiksata Yom Kikulo. According to Bar Palter, you're already done with your Nizirut on that last day. You can bring your Korban. The Rabbanan force you to postpone it a day. In the end, by Nizirut, it's also, we're dealing with probably a din derabanan also. So what the Mefarshim explain over here is that that is a din derabanan that extends out of a d'oraita versus Aveilut, which is a din derabanan, period. So now there's a big difference, and it's important in general when you look at din derabanan, that din derabanan can be taking a din d'oraita and then I'm building on that din d'oraita, and therefore it's an extension or an expansion of that din d'oraita. That might be the case, for instance, by Tosefet Shabbat, where we add on to Shabbat. How that works exactly, or how it functions, might only be a din d'rabbanan, and it is a din d'rabbanan, but it's expanding a din d'oraita of Shabbat. On the other hand, you have dini d'rabbanan, which are dinim that are completely new concepts or takanot that are not extending or building on a din d'oraita. And what they suggest over here is that aveilut falls into that category, where aveilut is a din d'rabbanan completely through and through. Whereas Nizirut is a din d'oraita, and here we have some sort of mechanism, d'rabbanan, to make sure that people don't make mistakes about it. That din d'rabbanan is very different than the din d'rabbanan of Aveilut, which is completely d'rabbanan. So that's how they differentiate between these two explanations. Again, it only is really relevant for them because they say that the concept here, that the last day was d'rabbanan, that's what allows you, according to Rav, to shave on day 100. Instead of day 101, they're invoking that issue of the din d'rabbanan. But according to the Mefarish, where it's all about just count and where you stop and how many days you have left, then over there the din d'rabbanan is not as applicable and you're really dealing with the din d'oraita of Nizirut. But there's the difference. Either Nizirut is d'oraita, period, and Aveilut is d'rabbanan, or even if you're dealing with the din d'rabbanan within Nizirut, it's a din d'rabbanan built on a concept d'oraita, whereas Aveilut here is either completely d'rabbanan according to the Balei Tosafot, or according to others, it's only the first day, and the Chachamim expanded it to 7 days, but it's not really similar to the first day, because the first day is din d'oraita really develops from aninut d'oraita. And therefore, the other 7 days of Aveilut might not even be an expansion of that first day d'oraita, because it's a different nature to it completely, which is that they're using aninut to make the first day Aveilut d'oraita, but the rest of Aveilut is just Aveilut, not connected to aninut. All right, so then, Ella, Rav, Damark, Rabbi Yossi. Then Rav must told like Rabbi Yossi. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. If you have a woman who's a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, this is a woman who's a Nida. Mina Torah, the way that the din of Nida works is, she, after citing any blood of Nida, she is Tmeah for 7 days. During that 7 day period, she can say Dam, any amount, any time, until the last day, the 7th day at Shkia. She can say Dam even until that last moment. Once Shkia hits on the 7th day, then she cannot see Dam anymore. If she does not see Dam anymore, she can go to the mikveh, and she is Torah mina Torah. Then if there was a hefsek, she stopped, what's called a hefsek tara, she stopped seeing blood anytime during that 7 day period, or at the last minute on that 7 days, then if she has a sighting of blood on day number 8, she becomes what's called a shomeret yom keneged yom, which is that she's tmeah for that day. The next day, she keeps bitara. And if she keeps the next day bitara, then she's completely Torah, we don't worry about it. Similarly, if she sees Dam again on day 9, then she also is what's called Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, and she waits day number 10, Bitara, to make sure that she really is Torah, and she goes to the mikveh during the day, and if the sun sets without her seeing anything, she is Torah. If on day 10, I mean, that's now she's seen on day 8, 9, and 10, 3 days in a row, she becomes a Zava Gidola. Zava Gidola then has to wait Shiva Nikim, then she has to wait 7 clean days, and then on the 8th day, bring her Korban. Our practice today basically is choshesh that all our women are zavot gidolot, and that's why all our women wait the shiva nikiyim and the 5 days of tumah before, derived from the poletet shechvadzera din in Har Sinai. Again, more complex. We dealt with in the Gemara in Shabbat as well as in the Gemara in the Da what exactly the count is. But based on this, Rabbi Yossi says, if the woman had a sighting on a given day, and now the next day, she is waiting bitara. So on day 8, she has a sighting. She has to wait day 9 bitara. She goes to the mikveh, a zava, whether she has zava ktana or zava gdola, is allowed to go to the mikveh during the day, as opposed to nida, who goes to the mikveh at night. Zavah goes to the mikveh during the day like any other tumah. You go to the mikveh during the day, and when the sun sets on that day, you've completed it. So she goes to the mikveh on day 9, assuming that she's going to make it through the day b'tahara. And if the sun sets on the day b'tahara, she is now out of being a zavah now, or having to be mitzareif. And if she has another sighting, then again, she'd start to count again, and shomeret yom keneged yom. So over here, what happened in that period of time is, she on day 8 had a sighting. Day 9 in the morning, she goes to the mikveh. Happens to be that it's Erev Pesach. Sheshachtu v'zarku aleha b'sheni shela. On that day, day 9, the second day, meaning the first day was when she had a sighting, the second day she's winning b'tahara, they deshech the Korban Pesach for her. Then, v'achar kach rata. Late in the day, she has another sighting. What happens then? Does that undermine her Korban Pesach that she was a party to? Harizo eina ochelet uptura menasot Pesach sheni. She cannot eat from the Pesach that night because she's now Tmeya again. And she'll have to wait the next day, Bitara. So she is definitely Tmeya. And therefore, she can't eat from the Pesach. But on the other hand, she is Tura from doing a Pesach Sheni. Because when they shechted the Pesach on her, her assumption that she was Torah and she was going to make it through the day. My time at the Rabbi Yossi, La Mishum de Kazavar, Mixet Hayom, Kikulal. The assumption being that the morning of that day when she was Bitara, Mixed Ayom Kikulo, and therefore she finished off the day, Bitara. Oh, we find out that's not the case, but we give her the benefit of the doubt that in the morning, Mixed Ayom Kikulo, and therefore when she shechted the Pesach, the assumption was that she was Tehora, and therefore she does not have to bring a Pesach Sheni, because this Pesach counts for her, even though she can't eat from it. Now over here, it's a question about the Girsa. The way that the Balei Tosfot have the Girsa here is that this is in addition to the previous statement, which is, Oh, mishom the kasavar minkano bahu mitamei. Because he also holds, Rabbi Yossi, that when the woman has a sighting, she is prospectively tmeya. That means late on the day, when she has that sighting, on the day that she was supposed to wait bitara, that sighting only makes her prospectively tmeya, not retroactively tmeya. And for that reason, if you apply both mixed ayom kukulo plus minkano bahi tmeya, the two combined let her be patur from Pesach Sheni. Because at the time she did the first Pesach, she mixed it to Yom Kukulo, it's as if she finished off the day. And even when she has the sighting late in the day, it doesn't affect the beginning of the day. It only affects the latter half of the day, because it's Mikan Ulahaba. That's the way the Balei Tosafot read it. On the other hand, the Mifareish reads this as a question, which is, Mimai, how do you know that the reasoning behind Rabbi Yossi is Mixat Yom Kukulo? Dilma Yishum Tukazavra Mikan Ulahabahu Mitamei. Maybe it's because he believes that all Tumah is prospective. There has nothing to do with Mixat Yom Kukulo, also has the fact that it's prospective Tumah. Umi Sava Rabbi Yossi Ochi. Does Rabbi Yossi really hold of this? Ratanya. Rabbi Yossi Omer Zav Bal Shtei Riyot. If you have a Zav who already had two sightings, Sheshachtu V'Zarku Alav Bishvi'i. They shechted it, and they did a Zrika for him on his 7th day. V'chein Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. Sheshachtu V'Zarku Alav V'Achar Kach Ra'u. And in this case, they saw later in the day. A Zav, on his first Ri'iyah, is like a Balkeri, and he is Tehora that night, as long as he doesn't have another sighting. A Zav's Ri'iyot are not dependent on days, just dependent on sightings, without an interruption of Tehora. So here, the Zav, if he has one sighting, if he has two sightings, he becomes Tamei, and he has to have do Shiva Nikiyim, and then he's done. But if he has three sightings, then you have a problem, because he has to have Shiva Nikiyim plus a Korban. We're not taking the case of a Zav that has three Ri'iyot, then a Zav will only add two Ri'iyot, or a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Both those cases, on the Zav's 7th day, he goes to the mikveh in the middle of the day, and if the sun sets on that day, he's done. He's done his Shiva Nikiyim, and he's done. Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom only has to do that the next day. She sighted on day 8, or even if she sighted day 8 and 9. On day 9 or 10, she just, in the morning, or sometimes in the day, goes to the mikveh. If the sun sets, they don't sight anything. She's now Torah. They're in the same position. So now, both of them went, and they had their Korban HaPesach. They were part of a Korban Pesach. But after they brought their caravan at Pesach, they saw the sighting. They had another sighting. Keneged yom sheshachtu v'zarku aleha v'achar kach ra'u af al pi shemitameim mishkav v'moshav l'mefreya. Even though they are mitameim mishkav v'moshav l'mefreya, which means retroactively they are tamei, turim l'masot Pesach sheni. They are patur from doing Pesach sheni. So here, the question depends on how you read the Gemara before. According to the Mifareish, who says that the Gemara now dropped Mixat Ayom Kukulo and says the reasoning behind Rabbi Yossi now is Mikan Alaba. The Gemara is questioning that and saying, what are you talking about? You see here that Rabbi Yossi believes that Tumah is Lemafreya. He says you're Tamei Lemafreya. Mishkav Moshav is the Tumah of a Zav and a Zavah. Which means that not only are they metame by direct contact, they're metame if they lie or sin on something, that tuma can penetrate down through the stack of whatever they're sitting on or whatever they are laying on. So if you have 10 mattresses piled on top of each other, even though technically tuma does not pass from one mattress to the other because it'll get to too low a level of tuma, nevertheless, the moshava, the mishkava, the zav makes it that every mattress under him is tame. That tuma applies retroactively. Can't say the reasoning behind Rabbi Yossi is mekana l'abo mitame, because you see here he says the mafreya. Therefore, it must be that it's mixer yom kukulo, according to the Mifaresh. According to the Balei HaTosafot, who said that the reasoning behind Rabbi Yossi is mixer yom kukulo plus mikana l'abo. Then when the Gemara here says the mafreya, it's ruining the mixer yom kukulo explanation now, because you don't have mikana l'abo anymore. So Gemara answers, no. Maile mafreya, midrabanan. Mefreya means here is only a rabbinic institution that you're tameya the rabbanan achanami mistavro. That makes a lot of sense. Tisakam in deoraita amay p'turim laso pesach sheni. Why are they then patur for pesach sheni? If they're tameyot milam afreya, that means that they have continuous tuma. They have continuous tuma. How could they bring a pesach rishon and be yotze with that pesach rishon? So at this point, according to the Balei HaTosafot, we're back to the original assumption that it's mixadayom kikulo plus mikana laba together. According to the Mefaresh, we're back to the assumption that maybe it's all about Mikana Laba, and Mitzadayom Kukulo doesn't work here at all. Mar says, no, Lolame Melacha, Tuma Doraita. That over here, the Mafreya, it's Tuma Doraita. But Tom de Ziva Hitiru. That Tom de Ziva was Mutar. This goes back to a din by Korban HaPesach. There is a special dispensation by Korban HaPesach that if someone went to be a part of a Korban HaPesach and even ate the Korban HaPesach, and finds out later that they were tamei tumat mate, then technically it nullifies everything they did with the Korban HaPesach, both the Shechita, as well as the eating of the Korban HaPesach, and you have to bring a Pesach Sheni. The exception to that rule is if he's tamei tumat mate bitohom. Tumat mate bitohom is a tumat mate that nobody knew about. And there was no way for this individual to ever have known that he would become tamei in this location. It's discovered after the fact. After the fact, they find that there was a grave in a place that he was. And nobody had known about that. That's called Tumat Tehom. In that case, there's a special dispensation, it's learned in the Gemara Pesachim, that it does not undermine your Korban HaPesach. He might have to bring a Korban HaPesach Sheni because he finds out his first one was no good. So then, the Gemara over here suggests that maybe, and there are such shito, that the same thing applies by Tumat Tehom of a Ziva. If a Zava is also, or Zav, is found to be Tumat Tehom, maybe over there it also would not undermine the Korban HaPesach. Even if you believe Tumah is L'mafreya De'oraita, nevertheless, we would still suggest that your Yotze, the Korban Pesach, because it's a case of Tumat Tehom, of Zav or Ziva. The way the Mefaresh explains it, one way he explains it is, that the dam of the woman is still inside of her uterus at the time she's bringing the Korban HaPesach. It only exits the uterus after that point in time. So even if you say the Tumah is the Mafreya, at the time she was makriv the Korban Pesach, it was in the Tehom. It was in her uterus. And therefore, there's no reason to ruin her Korban Pesach. That is the Mefaresh's first explanation. The second explanation he brings, which is the one that is assumed by most of the Mishunim, is that Tumat Tehom of a Zava means there's no way she could have known that it was coming out. Just like by Tumat Mate, you have no clue that there was a Tumat Mate there. Over here, she has no clue that Dam is going to come out. That's the whole problem here. She's waiting the Tara, thinking that the Dam's not going to come out. Therefore, it's known as Tehom of a Zava. Maybe every Tumat Ziva in that case is a Tumat Tehom if you are Tahor at the time that you bring the Korban HaPesach. Because you just don't know. Now, there are other things where you have a Veset. In that, if a woman coming into being a Nida has her Veset and it's a normal cycle and she should expect it, then you can't say she didn't expect it. Over here, it's past the normal time of her Nida, that's how the Torah terms it, below 8 Nidata, the time that she's not usually menstruating. So therefore, it's an unexpected sighting of Dam. Since an unexpected sighting of Dam here, by any Zava, you could argue that it is an unexpected sighting of Dam, then maybe over there it's called Tom de Ziva. Therefore, according to Ushita of the Mefaresh now, you can't say that Mafreya is only the Rabbonon. Mikan l'Abo is Doraita, but rather, the Mafreya was Doraita, and you're still able to bring the Korban HaPesach, not because of Mikana Laba, and maybe not even because of Mixat Hayom Kikulo, but rather because of this Tehom of Ziva, which gives you this dispensation. Similarly, the Balei HaTosafot will say now, who says that it's Mixat Hayom together with Mikana Laba, might be that it's Lemafreya. If it's Mafreya, according to the Balei HaTosafot, then you wouldn't have Mixat Hayom Kikulo, and therefore you have a problem now. Gemara says, well, that's not necessarily true, but after Rabbi Hoshaya, Savar the Mafreya Midir Rabbanan. Rabbi Hoshaya also believes that the Mafreya here of Rabbi Yossi is only Le Dir Rabbanan. Why? The Tanya, Rabbi Hoshaya Amar, Hare Zab Bishvi Shelo Soteret Shilfanav. Person, a Zab who sees on his seventh day, that Riya ruins his Shiva Nikim. He didn't make it to his Shiva Nikim, and now it's ruined. Vamalei Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Nistor Le Yomal. It only ruins the seventh day itself. And then, Rabbi Hoshaya says back to Manavshach. Isatar, if it undermines, then it's Kulo Satar. If you're saying to me that it's a problem, then it's a problem for the entirety of the 7 days. Ilo Satar, if it's not Soter, Lo Nistar Lo Yomal. Then it should not be, it shouldn't be Soter, not only the prior days, but not even that day itself, because it has no effect on that day. You're done with the 7 days already. Ella, Ema lo nistor velo yomo. You should have said that it's not okay at all. So Rabbi Shaya's opinion is that it is problematic the mafreya. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan believes that it's not soter, and the way Rabbi Yochanan is saying to him is it should not be okay at all. Then he says, "Amalei." It's not clear here who's speaking. It's not clear whether Rabbi Shaya is speaking to Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Yochanan is speaking to Rabbi Shaya. Rabbi Yossi kai kafadech. Rabbi Yossi says, just like you, Damar mikana laba mitame. Rabbi Yossi says that you only have prospective tuma. Va Rabbi Yossi the mafreyahu. Didn't Rabbi Yossi just say that there is tuma retroactively? Who Damar mila mafreya is the rabbanan. Now over here, it's not clear who's speaking. It's not clear if Rabbi Yochanan is saying to Rabbi Shaya, your explanation in my shita is just like Rabbi Yossi's shita, which is that the tuma is only mikana laba, and the mafreya, there is no tumah. Or is Rabbi Shaya saying to Rabbi Yochanan that if I amend your language to say that it's not okay or anything, then you hold like Rabbi Yossi, which is that mikana laba, there's tumah, there is no tumah, the mafreya, and therefore you got your shiva nikiyim in, and now it's a new sighting for the zav, and a zav with a new sighting only has to wait 1 day, doesn't have to wait the shiva nikiyim again. But either way, we see that they believe that Rabbi Yossi Shita al-Mafreya is only a Mafreya de-Rabbanan and not Doraita, and therefore that Sholel, that position. Now, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Michte Savar Mikta Deyom Kukulo. We've now concluded that Rabbi Yossi definitely holds Mikta Deyom Kukulo. According to the Balei HaTosafot, it's obvious because if the Gemara has now concluded that Rabbi Yossi really is the Mafreya de-Rabbanan, then the combination of Mikta Deyom Kukulo and Mikana Laba is what makes it that it works over here, according to Rabbi Yossi, that the Korban HaPesach Yiru Yotzei. According to the Mifaresh, who says that the reasoning of Mikana Laba is independent of Mikta Yom Kukulo, all we've gotten back to is that Mikana Laba is what Rabbi Yossi holds. Who says that he holds Mikta Yom Kukulo? Over here, the Mifaresh says that the Gemara believes that Mikana Laba Mitameh is a Shinuya Dechika. And it was an answer the Gemara gave, but it's not a strong answer. It's a difficult answer, and therefore the Gemara wants to go back to the original answer and saying that it really is Mikta Yom Kukulo. And now let's understand Rabbi Yossi's position. If you say that Rabbi Yossi's position is Mikta Deyom Kukulo, then you have a big problem. Because the way that a Zava becomes a Zava Gdola is if she has sightings 3 days in a row. Now what's going to happen? Just sighting day one, sighting day two, sighting day three. Sighting day one is day eight of her count. So on day eight, she has a sighting. She has to wait day nine, Bitara. She begins day nine, Bitara, Mikta Deyom Kukulo. She's done. She's good. She has a sighting on late on the day of day nine. That is a new sighting. How does it connect back to the previous sighting? Because Mikta Yom Kukulo, she already went to a position of Tara, and they can't be Mitzdareif, the two Riyot. And the same is true on the next day. You have to get three Riyot together. How does it work? The next day you have Mikta Yom Kukulo, and then you have a problem because Mikta Yom Kukulo gives you Tara. How do you connect the third Riyah to the first two? And that's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Yossi Mikta Savar Mikta Yom Kukulo, Zava Gmura, the mighty Karban, Heichal Mishkachala. How can you ever have a case where a woman is a Zava Gdola? How do you ever connect between the three Re'iot? On any given day, she has a Mikta Yom Kukulo and she's done. Kaven de Chazia Bepalge de Yoma, since she sees it in the middle of the day, Idach Palge de Yoma, Salik Lala Shimor. The first half of the day counts towards her Tara. And therefore, what's going on here? She has a continuous flow through 3 days. So one solution to the problem is simply to say that she has a menstrual flow that lasts from day 8 all the way into day 10. And therefore now she definitely has riyot on these 3 days without any interruption of shimur, because she was seeing dam the whole time. So there's no time where she could have done any shimur. She sees it 3 days right by sunset. There is no time for you to reach a minyan, to reach a case where she has shimur. Now this comes up, this is different according to different mifrashim. Here, where she has a sighting right by shkiat hachama, that means that she already had a sighting, say let's talk in day 8, late in the day she has a sighting, and then that sighting goes into day 9. And because it goes into day 9 now, then you have a sighting on day 8, as well as a sighting on day 9, and the sighting on day 9 is at the beginning of the day. Well, since the sighting is at the beginning of the day, any shimur that you have after that point in time is not meaningful. And what Rashi suggests over here is that the reason it has to go to into the night is because Rashi has an unbelievable shita in the Gemara Nida, which is that Mitzvah de Yom Kukulo starts at night. Had she had time at night where she didn't have a sighting and she only has a sighting the next morning, that would have counted as Mitzvah de Yom Kukulo and would have been part of her shimur. The Bali and Tosafot take huge issue with Rashi over there and show throughout Shas, the mitzvah de Yom Kukulo never applies at night. It only starts from sunrise the next day. In the morning, we know that from our practice by Avelut. Nobody says that Avelut ends that night of the seventh day. It only ends once you enter into the daytime of the seventh day of Avelut. It's only during the daytime that you count it as mitzvah de Yom Kukulo. Whereas Rashi believes that mitzvah de Yom Kukulo even starts at night, and therefore she has to see it by Shkiat HaChama. She has to see it right through sunset. Therefore, she has a sighting the day before. The next day, she can't count as Mitzvah de Yom Kukulo because she has a sighting right away that evening. And therefore, there's no Mitzvah de Yom Kukulo. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Tam suggests that the issue here is that Mitzvah de Yom Kukulo can apply on either side of the day. She can have Mitzvah de Yom Kukulo where she has a sighting the previous day, starts this day out without any sighting, that's Mitzvah de Yom Kukulo, and then has a sighting late in the day. The same will be true in reverse. If she has a sighting at night, and then goes through the remainder of the day without a sighting, the Mitzvah de Yom Kukulo will be the second half of the day will count as Mitzvah de Yom Kukulo, according to Rabbeinu Tam. Therefore, you need a sighting by Shkiat HaChama, because if she doesn't have a sighting right before sunset, then the second half of the day will count as Mitzvah de Yom Kukulo. And therefore, you have to have a sighting right before sunset that goes into the next day, into sunset, because then it ruins the Mitzvah de Yom Kukulo of the second half of the day. And then you go into the next day. Both of them are trying to answer the problem of why doesn't the Gemara say that she has a sighting right at sunrise? Why is it saying that she has it at sunset? If you have it at sunrise, it should be the same solution because Mitzvah Yom Kukulo can't get off the ground. Rashi answers because if she sees it at sunrise, Mitzvah Yom Kukulo already kicked in at night. And that's why she has to see it at nighttime. The Rabbeinu Tam says, what are you talking about? Mitzvah Yom Kukulo only starts during the day. Why does she need to see it at nighttime? Because she needs to see it for the previous day. Because if she got through the day, and the second half of the day she didn't have a sighting, that would count as Mitzvah de Yom Kukulo. Therefore, she has to have a sighting right before sunset, so it ruins her Mitzvah de Yom Kukulo on both sides. The front half of the day and the back half of the day. And that's how you'll get through this, which is, the Chazi Tzlachi Yomi Samoch Lishkiyat HaChama, Tolevei Shaut, the Selek Le Minyan. She never has time to start her count for Mitzvah de Yom Kukulo. Okay, with that we'll end the Perek. Adron Alach, Areni Nazir.